Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. And of course, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call, 347-826-7435. It's call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. I also encourage you, if you're not going to call me, and I understand some people are reluctant to hear their own melodious voices on the air, you can jump into the chat room at smoothdrama.com. If you jump into that chat room, it's anonymous. You can be whoever you want to be, whenever you want to be, however you want to be. It's always a good thing. And it's very interactive. It's live. And I get to interact with you, the listener. It's always my pleasure to do that. So, smoothdrama.com, jump to the chat room. It's awesome. And you can change your name in there and be as mysterious or upfront as you want to be. Social media. Pretty much anywhere you find Smooth Drama, follow us, add us. We'll follow, add you back. As a matter of fact, if you're on Facebook, you can ask to get into the Smooth Drama group, myself, or Mr. J, a.k.a. Big Lamb Chops, a.k.a. Mr. Lavender, a.k.a. I still wear socks with sandals. I don't know. I make this stuff up. I just like the kid, Mr. J. From time to time, he listens, and I diss him, and then he calls in, like, why are you dissing me? It's one of the things we do. So, anyway, social media, Smooth Drama, add us, hit us, and we'll go from there. Now, as always, y'all know I've been talking about the apocalypse, and since it seems like we've extended the apocalypse, because it was like we were right there, but they didn't know that it's like you talk about the zombie apocalypse. They didn't know that in the barn there were still like 12 zombies. And so those zombies got out and restarted the apocalypse again. So seems like we're more scrumptiouser again. It just seems like it. We're halfway scrumptious. It seems like we were done, but then the zombies just keep on biting. They just keep on biting. And speaking of bites, well, if you have T-Mobile, your bites may be in trouble, at least your info at least. So T-Mobile came out and confirmed that there was a data breach. But they can't determine whether customer data was impacted. Now, you know that sounds funny, right? Well, hey, they hacked our stuff and got access to all of your information, but we don't know if they got access to all of your information. If they got in, that means they have access to over 100 million customers' information. But we don't know. I mean, they got in, but we don't know if they looked. breaking. It's like somebody who breaks into the house not to steal anything. No, they're there to take something. They're there to get something. So generally speaking, hey, they broke into the house. We don't know if they took anything of yours. Yeah, generally speaking, yeah, they probably took something. And so when we start talking about information and what they take, I mean, there's all your private information that's on your account. You know, the data included Social Security information, physical addresses, and international mobile equipment identity numbers that uniquely identify individual mobile devices. So let's think about that for a second. Having your Social Security information, your physical address, and where your equipment actually is, what it is, how it's activated, that's not important. And yeah, they got access to that, but I mean, we don't know if they're going to use that. So yeah, if you're one of those people who has T-Mobile, watch yourself. Shake your ass, but watch yourself. Don't show them what you work. Well, you actually are showing them what you're working with because, well, they got your info. They got your info. I'm sorry. Now, it's the apocalypse. And folks stealing data, that's kind of normal. I mean, it's almost something that happens, and you kind of expect it to happen. So people don't make that big of a deal out of it, right? Now, I saw something that kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. They did an experiment on Daddy Long Legs. What am I talking about? Yeah, if you know, Daddy Long Legs are the spiders that they don't really bite. They're just the long spiders. Everybody's scared of them, but realistically, they're really relatively harmless in the spider crew. So, In a series of new experiments, team of researchers apparently mapped the entire genome of the Opilio, that's what they call them, the Opilions, and studied their legs and why they're longer than individual bodies. And so they isolated the genes responsible for those long legs. Then they turn off the long leg genes in the embryos, creating spiders with shorter, deformed legs. And I was like, man, that's some evil stuff, right? Why we mess with Daddy Long Legs? What Daddy Long Legs do to anybody, right? You're just like, okay. So we're going to make Daddy Long Legs short and deformed. So then that's where I get into the why part. Like, mutant daddy short legs, why? Are we trying to make things shorter or longer? And for what purpose? Because, you know, research is done with certain things in mind. So if we're isolating the genes that make things longer or shorter, what else can be can be done when we talk about isolating genes and embryos. Now, I can be a bit of a conspiracy theorist, just a little bit. People who listen to me know I can be a bit of a conspiracy theorist. And so when I think of mapping genomes and isolating genes, and we start talking about you want to make things shorter, the conspiracy theorist in me says, okay, why do you want to make things shorter? Because if we're making things shorter, we probably want to make things longer too. So are we talking about messing with the embryos and isolating the genes of different sections of humanity? I know we're talking about spiders in one sense, but we're deforming the legs of spiders. Some people say that there are other people who have third legs, right? And so when we talk about a third leg, do you shorten that third leg and do you deform it? And what does that do for that appendage? Does it work properly if it's deformed? Now, I know, once again, we're talking about spiders, but I'm always thinking, because humans, the track record for humans and treating humans right and doing stuff that's going to mess up segments of the population, yeah, we good with that. We real good with that. So, whereas in one instance, I'm talking about spiders, and I'm talking about in a series of experiments, they're mapping out genomes and they're isolating genes and they're turning off certain genes that make certain things happen in individual spiders. Normally when they do that kind of stuff, there's also a human aspect that is adopted. So will they be turning off or isolating the genes in embryos, different physiological composition people? It's out there. It's sitting on the table. I know some folks, you're tripping. But am I? We think about the world and how things work. So remember when we had the crisis at the border, as they called it, and all the young ladies that they took into the back rooms and took their uteruses out. I mean, it's a horrific thing when you take the opportunity for someone to have kids away, right? And you take the whole uterus out of several females until it got out. And there was not a big stink, even though, and this is the funny part, we're one of those countries where you have a lot of people who talk about how wrong it is for abortion. We've got a lot of people protesting, blowing stuff up in the name of that. But your government just takes away the birthing mechanism in Mexican Latin females. It's not that big of a deal. didn't hear no outrage from folks. Because I guess the abortion, the taking away the right of birth and all that only matters with a certain segment of the population. Just as a thought. And so now, if we look at it from that viewpoint, then you say, researching creatures and making what was long on them short. Now, that has nothing to do with whether or not you can produce sperm, healthy sperm. But then you read the deformed leg part. And I'm saying, so you can mess it up and deform it. And so if you can deform folks' penises, that would mess with the maybe some of the birthing aspect, the healthy sperm aspect. I'm just as a casual, just a casual observer. Because I like to think that asking the right question is very, very important. Because then you can come to the right conclusions. So I ask y'all to think about that for a second. Research to make things smaller. Is it really about daddy long legs? Are daddy long legs threats to society? One could argue, hell no. Now, the sexual connotation, the whole Mandingo connotation that is associated with the black male in society, it's a whole other argument. And so maybe there's some circumvention that gets thrown in with this kind of research. Just a thought. One don't match the other, but maybe they do. And on that note, probably gonna need a break here. So this is Big L, Flamboyant.
Yeah, Big L, Coleon, my nigga Steve Town, my big brother Big Lee holding it down. Flamboyant, baby, for life, we taking over. Coming to a theater near you, check it out. Come on, check it out. Make sure my mic is loud and my production is tight. Better watch me around your girl if you ain't fucking the right. You damn player haters never wanna see me blow. Flamboyant Entertainment, CEO. Yo, the spotlight is mine, it ain't his no more. When we come home, niggas can't live no more. And I'm straight, keep a heart of the world mind straight. I never lounge where you find Jake. Surprise niggas like a blind date, L rhyme break. And I'ma increase the crime rate for old time's sake. Roll with me and I'ma make you a star. When me and my crew hit the club, we go straight to the bar. Leave them empty, I flew through all them in the M3. Never pay for parties, say my name and I'm M3. I want some money, see car shit, superstar shit. Selling niggas that wet shit, run out the car shit. I'm dumb hot, I'll wreck you and your young flock. Keep the gun cop, represent one block. 139 and it's the danger zone. We push for the bullet in the stranger zone. I'm known to kick the rough rhyme and rock rough shine. Yeah, I'm out, I done took up enough time. We out.
Flamboyant for life. I'm so scared that I run up in your baby mama. I'm holding on to advance for y'all. So I'ma lace the dudes up with nice forget. Funny boy is the label that writes the check. Y'all niggas better stop putting, cause I might get vexed. And I'ma run up on y'all and fight the neck with a machete. Pockets heavy, sling more cane than edit. I represent uno, twice, new eve. Time is money, so I stay late. I'm quick to fly to play late. Fucked off like the Trey Ace and Ray Tate.
Is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, in the midst of COVID, you know, we still in the midst of foolishness. Like, I think we've talked about it before. There are the people who think they're Magneto, or they're children of Magneto because they got vaccinated. So, there's some lady, Amelia Miller, who's like, yeah, she's a pre-law political science graduate out of Northern California, says she got the Pfizer vaccine in June after coming down with COVID last December. And she said that this past Sunday, she started to feel this strong metallic taste in her mouth. Now, I would be predisposed to say, yes, because you're eating with the fork, but hey, you know, some people don't see it that way. And then she said she remembered the previous stories of people who claimed to have suddenly become magnetic after being vaccinated. Yes, for those of you who ain't heard it, or if you do remember it, there are people who actually think they're Magneto or Polaris. Yeah, whichever magnetic character you rock with, DC, Marvel, or whoever. Yeah, there's people who are like that. So, yeah, she said she's able to stick different types of metal to her skin, and within minutes, she'll have a really strange and strong metallic taste in her mouth. Now, I would say maybe she put a bullet in her mouth. Now, There are different kind of bullets, right? We know there's the bullets from guns, and then there's those other bullets. I don't know how metallic they are, but just saying, that strong metallic taste in her mouth, I would say spoons and forks or bullets, or a bullet that she has, a.k.a. dildo. And so she was on some show putting metal on her body and saying, look, I'm magnetic, as they fall off. So I enjoy pointing out idiocy. It just makes me feel good inside. So I always know what's normal and what's not normal, because I know there's people like Amelia Miller who thinks they're magnetic. And so one would say that, well, yeah, I'm just not going. I was going to go into the whole thing, but I think it would just hurt my heart. Foolishness. I'm actually going to talk about something else that's been going on, and I think some people who've been paying attention. The Afghanistan situation. It's a big deal, right? Oh, my God. We're leaving Afghanistan. We're leaving those poor people of Afghanistan to their own devices. We're going to let a sovereign country decide their own fate? You're tripping. So, it's basically what we've been saying about, Joe Biden and policy. Yeah, we're withdrawing. And because they're like, the Taliban has been sweeping through the country. It's like, it's been swift. I'm like, y'all don't see how it seemed like really easy? Seemed like really, really easy. So there's only two conclusions that you can come to when it's real easy like that. And they kind of run the same course. One, the U.S.-backed military is so pathetic that they just got ran through like a hot knife through butter. And or the people, they're not all that against the United States leaving. And the people who are in charge that are pro-U.S., they don't seem to be rocking it. I mean, we see, if you've watched any of the news clips, we've seen there's a lot of people at that airport. But when you start thinking about the country on the whole, Afghanistan's a pretty big country. So the people at the airport look like they just represent the folks that back the U.S. And so you kind of bet on the wrong horse. And now you lost. The Taliban's there. And yeah, you're not going to get to leave. And so, yeah, that's kind of it. You're done. Now, for the people who sit up there, yeah, we should, why should we be involved in a sovereign nation's business? See, key point, sovereign nation business. And there's the people who say, well, hey, the Taliban is the enemy of America. Enemy of America. They come after America. Because, yeah, the Taliban, threat to the United States. They're going to fly over in those two planes that they might have that might be operational. I'm just saying that they don't really have any resources to attack the United States at all. And the whole, we're protecting the democratic government of Afghanistan. So if you're believing that, if that's your thought, you should smack the shit out of yourself. Because, yeah, Afghanistan as democratic or, and let's be clear, communist is a BS argument also. So for example, we know, so if you're one of those people, because I was one of those people, like, hey, you know, why? I mean, I know why, and I guess I can share that with you. So if you look up, what did the Soviet Union want during the Afghan War? Because the Soviet Union went to war with Afghanistan, I think like 1979 through the 80s. And so they'll say the unofficial, which was the war, Soviet-Afghan War, was from 1979 to 1989, and they went to war on Christmas Eve, and they stopped the day after Valentine's Day. It was the official reason is to prop up the country's communist government in its battle with anti-communist Muslim guerrillas. That's why the Soviet Union was at war with Afghanistan. That's the official reason. Even to the point where Ronald Reagan came out and was like, dedicated the space shuttle Challenger launch to the freedom fighters in Afghanistan. Some people may be too young to remember that, or at that particular point in time, you was young, and you didn't give a damn what Ronald Reagan was talking about. But he did do that on national TV. You can actually YouTube that, because he dedicated the Space Shuttle Challenger flight to the brave freedom fighters in Afghanistan. You know them people that we hate now? So that was the Soviet Union's 10-year official reason. So now the United States' official reason for fighting in Afghanistan is we're fighting the Opium War. What is the Opium War? So I know some people remember the crack epidemic in the United States, crack cocaine, all that stuff. You know, so long ago when people was on the corner shooting at each other, selling that crack. Lots of music, lots of films where they dramatize and make it seem like it was just so awesome when it was not. And we're looking at the benefits of crack cocaine in our society, as far as generations of people, families that have been ruined, destroyed. So we then flip the script and we look at the war in the suburbs, which is the opioid crisis. Because why is Afghanistan important? Because it's opium. Apparently, the Taliban is making $200 million a year off of opium. Those poppy seeds that's growing in the center of Afghanistan. That's why we're there. We need to stop that opium trade, because United States, that's what we do. We fight. We don't encourage drug dealing, except for when Ronald Reagan did it, when they brought the crack in. And except for when we went back to Afghanistan, because we helped Osama bin Laden, who people look at him as the architect of 9/11. But in reality, Osama bin Laden was Scarface. He was closer to Scarface than he was to being what you want to call that hardcore terrorist. He was a drug dealer. He's 6'6" drug dealer, diabetic drug dealer. That was him. He was a drug dealer for the world. because Afghanistan is the heart of the opium trade. Now, there was some research. Yeah, I like looking stuff up from the London School of Economics. And so the study found that despite excellent intelligence, the multi-million dollar campaign, the United States was spending, what was the United States spending? A total of $1.5 million a day since 2001 fighting the opium war in Afghanistan. $1.5 million a day. It's a lot of coin. All right. Just since 2001. All right. So this London School of Economics, they found that the campaign was having a negligible effect on the Taliban and the drug trafficking networks in Afghanistan. So Dr. David Mansfield and his crew was asking the question, because, you know, it's always about the right question. So what were the Americans actually attacking? And so Dr. David Mansfield said, and I quote, "It was bizarre. I was sitting in the UK more than 3,500 miles from Afghanistan watching these incredible attacks unfold. The technology Americans were using was stunning. These bombs seemed to be going in with pinpoint accuracy, but I was just thinking, what is the target here?" So, and he says that heroin production leaves certain telltale signs, and he wasn't seeing any of them. And yet the American forces were claiming the attacks were a success. And so they went in and did some detective work and did the advanced mapping technology, geospatial analysis of satellite images, as well as research on the ground. And then found out. So the conclusion is this. Despite the incredible resources the American military were pouring in, Dr. Mansfield and his team were convinced that the U.S. Air Force was using 21st century bomber jets to bomb little more than mud huts. Now, as we know, this is the longest war in U.S. history. And so the heroin industry is huge. And we know that it is affected here in the United States because we have an opioid crisis. So just like we had that crack crisis, now it's the opioids, where we've talked about it on the show. You have a lot of people where we've got to the point where we're kinder and gentler with different segment of the population, to the point where we've legalized all drugs, even psychosis-inducing drugs like mushrooms. So, as I've said, we have people who just walking down the street seeing dragons. But I digress. So, this booming heroin industry, the opioid crisis, and you say, You have an independent group who went on the ground and studied everything and see that the Americans aren't actually attacking the heroin dealers for real. They weren't trying to destroy the poppy fields. They weren't doing any of that. So now one could say, just like the Russians before them, the Russians wanted to be in charge of the poppies. And the United States came in, and now they're in charge. Well, we're in charge of the poppies. And one could say they may or may not have a secret deal on the table where, hey, you can still sell your drugs through us. We'll pretend like we're enemies. Not that we would do anything like that, because, as y'all know, the United States doesn't make deals with terrorists. We just don't do that. We don't do that. We'll negotiate with terrorists, right? We know that. Y'all know that, right? Everybody knows that. We do not negotiate with terrorists. Even though we've been at war, we can go back to some things in history. That's why I love history, because if you're reading it right, you'll see things that change but don't change at all. During the Spanish-American War, when Spain ceded the Philippines, they ceded Cuba. They ceded pretty much all of their colonial holdings on this side of the planet. There was what they did in the Philippines, where they negotiated with the Spanish, but didn't tell the Filipino revolutionaries that were with them. And so Spain had agreed to cede the Philippines to the United States. So the United States pretended like, hey, we're going to go in and fight, and y'all can come in as cavalry. And so they pretended like they were shooting. And then when the Filipino revolutionaries all showed up, they identified them, and then they eventually all got slaughtered. And that's how the United States gained the Philippines. It's an interesting story. You can look that one up. You can look that one up. That's one of the first examples of negotiating with the quote-unquote enemy, but not telling the people that you're supposed to be fighting with, the freedom fighters. And so, not that I'm saying that Taliban are freedom fighters, but I'm going to guess just because we're leaving Afghanistan doesn't mean we're leaving the drug game. Because as we know, the pharmaceutical companies that have been selling all the opioid-laced enhanced products all over the world, and especially here in the United States, I'm sure they got to connect. I'm sure they got to connect. And I'm guessing that connects in Afghanistan. And I'm guessing that connects may or may not be associated with the Taliban, allegedly. We're just alleging stuff. Even though it just makes sense. I mean, if you're asking that question, why do we care about Afghanistan? I mean, Afghanistan wasn't a democratic stronghold in the world. Like, yeah, this used, so, because you could say Cuba, whichever one you want to call it, it was a place that the United States used to have as a playground, United States and the mob. And when Castro and his people overthrew that, they lost a place that was their playground. And that's why they've hated on Cuba forever. Afghanistan? I don't think Afghanistan's ever been on the list of beautiful places that you wanted to go. I can't say in its history. And I'm sure there are some beautiful places in Afghanistan, but I've never heard anybody saying, well, I know a few people. Nobody's ever said, hey, we should take a trip to Afghanistan. I hear it's rocking there. Just hasn't happened. So why did the Russians, because they weren't communists and they damn sure ain't democratic, why do we care about Afghanistan? Now, you can come to the conclusion, the logical conclusion, that it was about the opium. Or we can listen to what they're saying on TV. Now, you just ask yourself, anybody you know, if they were checking for Afghanistan ever in their lives, your grandparents, anybody, you know anybody, because we hear about people, hey, we want to go to Caribbean, we want to go to Europe, we want to go to UAE, we want to go to the continent of Africa. There's a lot of places people want to go. Afghanistan, never been one of them places that stood out. Just saying. Just hasn't happened. Maybe after all this is over and done, because they say the Taliban are kinder and gentler. They got Twitter. They got Facebook. They got Instagram. They say they got 900,000 followers, whatnot. They say that they want women in their government, all that other stuff. So maybe they're the kinder, gentler Taliban, and that opium is going to be cheaper. Maybe. I guess we'll see. And on that note, I'm going on a little break. This is Che Noir, Hunger Games.
Talking 33 months in the zone, we just speak of eternity. All of this, I did it how way. They get it their way. My way made me a millionaire without getting airplay. I've been at their place. That shit is useless. Niggas ain't got the chandelier sitting over to in a staircase. Dead space. Make my ears pay. Go 357, got fly weapons like an airplane. I'm shooting everything, same face. I see the polo sweater to put a bullet in a fair face.
Together you got to move. Drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Che Noir, Hunger Games. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. So, I'm taking, it's my informal poll in the chat room, wherever. We trying to plan that group trip to Afghanistan. Who's coming with me? I'm awake. Y'all let me know. See if we can get them group rates. Somebody. Anybody. Just let me know. I mean, aside from the fact that the president took the cash and left, and they're like, oh, he's a traitor. Where did he go? He's like, man, look, I'm the first person they're going to kill when they see me. I'm only here because I was a sellout to the people in the first place. Duh. So when the United States says, hey, we're leaving. So you see the mad dash. If everybody, you're watching the videos, what's happening in Afghanistan, people falling off the plane because they're trying to hold on to the plane as it's taking off. They're falling off of the plane, literally. Literally. They're falling off of the plane. I'm like, whoo. Yeah. It's not working out. It's not working out. But I did see something that was working out. Y'all know. It's last second. It's Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Oh, man. Groundhog Day. So, I saw an article. And what were they talking about? Well, they were talking about black vultures. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, you think, nah, that's tripping. But I can't make this stuff up. So in Scottsburg, Indiana, in the southern Indiana, Scott County. So down there, they say they have those black vultures. Those black vultures. So, basically, John Harden, who owns some fields in southern Indiana, in Scott County, he says them black vultures. Now, that's a very, very aggressive bird. They're basically waiting for the cows and calves to die or trying to kill them. So, they say the black vultures, they survive, like most vultures, by eating carrion or the remains of dead animals. But apparently, according to Mr. Harden, he says he walks out of the door and he sees them that perched on the roof ridge of his neighbor's barn or settled on a nearby fence, watching and waiting. But they said that he says he's lost at least 2, but possibly up to 4 animals in the last few years because of them black vultures. So he says those black vultures, they pick the calf's nose off, pick around his mouth, face, and navel, and they hover, and they're killing them cows. Killing them cows. Alive. Eating them alive. So they basically, because they're very, very aggressive birds, and they're eating the cows alive, they got a special law passed, and so they can legally shoot the black vultures that are very, very aggressive birds, because the other vultures ain't quite as aggressive as the black vulture. Now, you may or may not have heard of something like that. The black, remember the Africanized honeybee? It was going to come here. It was going to sting everybody. You wasn't even going to be able to go outside your house. Remember that? Stay inside, Africanized bee. Then they said it was the Asian murder hornet. Remember that one? Because, you know, we always get racial with the bees and the animals. So we got that very, very aggressive blackbird killing cows on sight, just off rip. Now, maybe that's racist to some. Maybe it's not racist to others. No, they just happen to be black vultures, because they technically are black vultures because their skin color is black. But we know vultures aren't vicious creatures. Vultures are nice and kind. I know many people who have vultures as pets, and they hug them and squeeze them and love them. Allegedly. I mean, raise your hand if you know somebody who has a vulture as a pet. I know somebody in the chat room. Y'all know y'all got friends that got vultures as pets. And they're kind and loving. Very kind, very loving. Very lovable creatures. I'm just saying. And we're gonna say the black one is just so aggressive and so very, very aggressive. I've heard that argument before. Those aggressive black whatever, whether it be people or creatures. Groundhog Day. The same old, same old. Just can't stop, won't stop. The black is the most aggressive of them all. Yeah. Watch yourself. If you out there in Scott County, Indiana, black vulture might steal one of your kids. Never know. Could happen. Apparently, that's what black creatures do. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. I always encourage you, after the show, jump to the chat room at smoothdrama.com. Come in, drop your verses, questions, comments, concerns. They're always welcome. And on that note, I catch y'all on the flip side. Peace, love, and hair grease.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.